Morning to you once again. Mickey Prince came to me out in the lobby and she said, "Are you preaching for Larry today?" I said, "Who's Larry?" Well, it's Charles Larry Prince, I found out, and that's fine. Well, I filled in for him last week and I was on for today, and Charles called me late in the week and said, "Hey, can you help me out again?" He's still sick, so we need to be praying for Charles. We sang a song, "His Grace Reaches Me." So the question would be, has His grace reached you yet? And when I say, has it reached you, His grace is there, His invitation is there, always. Have you put yourself in a position of accepting that grace through your own obedience to His offer? And that's what I believe that grace is about. It's the unmerited favor of when we obey, you see, that now we are in His grace, we participated in His grace because of our obedience, and from that point forward, we have a true friend in God, a holy God, because now we're a saint, we're holy, we're set apart, and we have the ability to appeal to that grace from now on as we're faithful. You know, there's subjects that are more comfortable than others. There's subjects that are obviously less comfortable than others. One of the ones that's less comfortable is forgiveness. It is. I think that forgiveness is clearly one of the keys to getting along. It's certainly a key in a marriage. It's a key within the church. So I want to talk about forgiveness in the light first of what God did for us. Those of us who have been obedient to His will have accepted His forgiveness and understand the impact of that forgiveness and how God treats it versus the difficulty that we have in treating forgiveness. None here would deny that at one time or another you may have had a hard time forgiving someone, or you are now having a hard time forgiving someone, or guaranteed you will have a difficult time forgiving someone. I have several passages associated with this. I'll read them. Let's be clear about what God has done. In Isaiah 1:18, a famous passage, the first part of it at least, all of it actually, "Come now, let us reason together. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall become like wool." Wool is pure white. No red in the wool, you see. Let me see in Jeremiah 31, verse 34. "And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity," sin, "and I will remember their sin no more." You see that? "I will remember their sin no more." Then we go over to Hebrew writer in Hebrews 8 and 10 through 12. "For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." Then Nehemiah says in chapter 9, "But you are a God," this is powerful here, "you are a God ready to forgive, gracious, you see the word grace in there, gracious, and merciful. Slow to anger and abounding, you see, in steadfast love, and did not forsake them. So as we go through the idea of forgiveness, forgiving people that we know, some we may not know so well, or our spouses, whatever, is your love steadfast? Is that anchor right there to give you that ability to say, you know what, I can forgive you, and by the way, I can park it. See what I mean? I can bury the cat. I can put it aside. It's just as if I never did it. Justification, see? Important. What did Jesus teach us about forgiveness? Matthew 6, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you get that? Do you get how serious that statement is by the Lord? I don't know what judgment's going to be like. But I can tell you one thing. We need to get a grip on our ability to forgive. No matter the circumstances, we need to get a grip on our ability to work with someone who needs forgiveness, but also in making them aware, you see, that they need forgiveness. Does that make sense? You know someone, you know Galatians 6 and verse 1, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of meekness, lest you also be tempted. You see? Can that apply in a marriage? Absolutely. I think the key question in any of this is, am I interested in the other person's soul? Isn't that really the question? But just as much, am I interested in my own soul? Do I have that feeling that, you know, if I can learn to be this way, that I'm buying more and more insurance with regard to my ability to enter heaven. Now, here's a powerful one. We're in Matthew 18, 21. It's a rather long series of verses, but let's go. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. I have no clue how much money that is. It's a lot. Anything says 10,000 is a lot. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you. Are we you? We're you. See? Let's get it. We are you, you see. If you do not forgive your brother from your heart. My mother used to say to my next brother down, Tim. Tim was a stubborn character. She'd say, now, Tim, go tell Joe you're sorry. Did you hear what I said, Tim? Go tell Joe you're sorry. Will he come over? I'm sorry. Walk away. Was that from the heart? No. My mother was trying to put it into his heart, but it didn't work. It didn't go there. So from the heart, I'm sincere about it. And from the heart is part of that, I'm going to park it. You see? Because there's a day coming when we will depend on God and His forgiving us, you see. That's the idea of the parable here. Now, in Mark 11, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. You see the condition? Hey, did you forgive? Did you forgive that person who asked, by the way? Maybe didn't even ask. Can you still forgive? That's the question, right? But if I'm here and I have a problem with a brother before I walk through that door, or when I walk through that door and I realize it and I see that brother, then maybe I need to say something and clear the air before I continue into a worship service. Matthew 5 and 7. Blessed are the merciful. That'd be us. Can I show mercy, you see? For they will, what? Have mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Condition, result. I meet that condition, I get the result of having mercy myself. Now, the Apostle Paul, there's 3 points here. Paul and James, in 2 Corinthians 2, 5 through 8, we see Paul. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. You see that idea there? It's a side note. The punishment by the majority. How do we get a majority? We understand that. 60 out of 100 is a majority. It's a very interesting note in terms of punishment, withdrawal of fellowship, or whatever. The punishment by the majority. So you should rather turn to forgive and comforting. See? Or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow, so I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. They're talking about a specific person, right? Forgive and comfort. But he might be overcome with sorrow if you don't do that, you see. Why would he be overcome with sorrow? I know of cases where there's just such a difficult time forgiving someone, and the other party is just begging for forgiveness from that party so that they can get along. We'll talk about that in a minute. They just beg for it. But it doesn't happen. The one who is not willing to forgive, remember your place with God. I think it's severe. I think it's serious. I think it's very serious business. Remember, all of our objective is to do what? To go to heaven. That's the goal. And to make sure those that we love go with us. That's key. Now, in Colossians 3, Paul said, bearing one another, with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. You see that? Forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, always that condition, see, forgiving each other, as the Lord has, past tense, forgiven you. You see Paul talking to the Colossians here. So you also must forgive. In James 2, verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You see the idea there? Judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, from something I had to say 2 or 3 weeks ago about what had happened to me, I witnessed judges looking at a man who was being sentenced and saying to that man, you have shown no mercy. Zero. And that person got the maximum they could possibly get. It could have been 20 years. It could have been 30 years. No mercy. Well, when we face God in judgment, that's just a sample of no mercy, right? No mercy forever. You see? The word L-O-S-T, lost, forever. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. David made a big mistake. More than one, of course. But if you look at Psalm 51, just verse 1, look at the plea here. And what I want you to see is, can a person come to you and plead with you as David pled with the Lord? Can that happen? Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. There's so much of His mercy, you see. Blot out my transgressions. Blot out my sin. We sang a song a while ago, Just As I Am. Back in 1998, I led that song for a funeral of a dear friend of ours, Clinton Hamilton. And I wonder, why did he ask for that song to be led? Just As I Am. What does it say? I come. See there? Hamilton was ready. He said, as I am, without a plea, I come. Now, if a person comes to you and says, and there's a problem between you, and that person says, I'm here. See? Can you help me? Can you forgive me? I come broken. See? I'm broken. Can you help my broken spirit? Can you do that for me, please? What are you going to do? Well, I'll see. Well, I'll see. Or the person you know has a serious problem, and you know that your life, the rest of your life, is going to depend on your ability to get along with that person, the ability for certain to forgive that person. Can you bring that person to the point where they will listen to you, where they can say, I'm sorry, can you forgive? Do we have a responsibility to do that? Of course we do. And there are certain situations in life that are much tighter, closer, if you will, that demand that of us. Maybe the person doesn't say, "Can you help me? Can you forgive?" Chances are, if Christ is in their life, they will listen. And then you can have some success. 1 Chronicles 21, David was talking to Gad, and he said, "I'm in great distress. Let me fall into the hand of the Lord." Watch this. "Let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for His mercy is very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man." That's a scary thought, isn't it? Look, you bet. I'll answer to the Lord. I'll be happy to do that. But look, don't let me fall in the hand of these people over here. Now that's a sad commentary, isn't it? I've heard many people say, "Don't let man judge me. I'll take the Lord." I've heard that said many times by people who've done something wrong, and the brethren have judged them just mercilessly. And I've seen it, and I've watched it. So don't let me fall in the hand of man. I'll take the Lord. Why? Lord's forgiving. Then the Lord forgets. 2 Samuel. In David's song of deliverance, chapter 22 and verse 26. "With the merciful, you show yourself merciful." See that? "With the merciful, you show yourself merciful." I'm merciful. God's merciful. I'm not. What's the implication? He's not. So what do we do? What do we do? Question for you then. What effect does forgiveness have on our unity within here? I've been in churches, congregations, not overseas. It was interesting overseas. It was really, most people were getting along all the time because they didn't have what we have here. But I've been in churches where there was strife between a party and another, or more than one party with other parties or whatever. And I'm telling you, folks, it creates disunity. It's a problem. The Lord doesn't intend to suffer through those problems. We have to be willing to straighten problems out like that. But better that we, as a person who has a problem with someone else, we take care of it in private. Nobody else's business, potentially. You see, let's just take care of that problem right now, and let's move on with life. We're all capable with God's help. No question about that. Now, how about unity in the personal family? Can we have unity within our family, within our marriage, you see? Within our extended family, can we have unity within that? All requires forgiveness. It does. And it requires our willingness to request forgiveness of one as well. Remember last week when I spoke on hope, I mentioned the word pardon. The president every year pardons somebody. And I also said that when he pardons, he removes the file. It's gone. No more in the FBI database, CIA, nothing. It is gone. Pardon. Back to justification. Just as if I never did it, you see. If we could but be that kind of people, where we don't carry a grudge. You notice that in what I've said thus far, it almost finished here, I've never said, but what if the person doesn't ask me to forgive? I'm not dealing with that right now. You know why? The best thing you can do for you is to forgive without the person asking you to forgive. Do you get that?
Amen.
Because, do you know what that does for you? If you can forgive someone and the person comes to you, ask forgiveness, and you say, listen, it's over. It's done. It's history. It's past. What does that do for you? Whoa. A burden lifted. You know why it's a burden lifted? You're not carrying that around anymore. You're not carrying that grudge anymore. But more than that, you know you're in the right place with the Holy God, see, when you do that. I believe that with all my heart. All right. In any situation, is it possible to purify a relationship? You know what I mean by purify? We drink purified water. That means it has no what? No garbage anymore, right? No garbage, right, Mom? No garbage. It's pure. And we drink it. Okay? Can we then purify a relationship of any type? You see that? I said any type of relationship. Let's get a grip on our lives, folks, and realize, okay, and move on in life as if it never happened. So do you believe in God's power to answer a prayer? Can you pray to God, I really need help, Father, to forgive this person? I really need help to go to this person and say, look, what can we do to make this thing work? Two hearts and minds get together that are in the Lord, having great difficulties. We can work through anything. One God, or it was said this way, Brother Haley said this way, one man and God are a majority in any country. You see that? One man and God are a majority in a country. The point is, when you are with this party that you're having problems with, can you look to God in prayer with that party? Rely on His power to help you through that. If you can do that, brethren, it will happen. It will. I believe in prayer that strong. It will happen. But if you don't, if you make light of things, it can never work out. It can never happen. It won't ever happen. Trust me. It won't. You know why? Because your attitude is poor. That's the bottom line. We need to learn not to be selfish. We need to learn to be selfless when it comes to our relationships with our fellow man and our brethren. So, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be as white as snow. God remembers your sins no more. If you've not been obedient to the gospel, and there are some here, I know, that have not been. You carry a heavy burden. You may not realize it walking day by day, but trust me, when you become obedient to the gospel, you will realize the burden you carry. There was an insurance man years ago back in Colorado Springs, and he said to me once, and you know, I forget what kind of problem I was going through, whatever. He said, Joe, I learned one thing in life. He was an elderly man at that time, and that's been 40 years ago probably. Ooh. Can't believe that. 40 years, yeah. 30 maybe, I was 30, something like that. And he said, you never know what a problem is to you until you get rid of it. You get that? Let's say you have a heavy debt. Let's say you owe somebody a lot of money. And all of a sudden, it's gone. It's wiped away. Whew. How did I deal with that all this time, you see? There's something to be said for that. Opportunities now. And if you see, if you're not a Christian and you are aware that you're not a Christian, but you have some stubbornness or whatever, for whatever reason, you see, understand one thing, you've heard me say it before, why don't you just step into God's grace by your obedience? It is a free gift, but it requires my accepting the gift. It requires me to respond to what God has offered. If I don't respond to what God has offered, you see, I have a problem on the day of judgment. When is that day for you? I don't know. I don't know when the day is for me. I do know when I draw my last breath and the doctor said it's over, I do know that I have met judgment at that point in time. Are you here this morning and subject to the Lord's invitation? You need to be in His grace? If so, Zach is going to lead us in a song now as we stand and sing.